today on Real Radio.
If the battle of the gods took place there in 1 Kings between Yahweh, the Lord, and Baal of the pagan Babylonian system, then do we not see the formation happening now again where it's coming down to Yahweh,
versus
the Lord,
Allah.
And Allah,
that's
the
right.
Ancient pagan god of Babylon?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are feeling, give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word.
On today's edition of Real Radio, we're going to step aside from our normal programming and do something that we do from time to time, and that's have a conversation with Pastor Jack right here in his office. We're in the middle of the book of Judges. It's actually an historical narrative that talks about what we know as the period of the Judges. And maybe we can start here. Why are we having this conversation?
Well, Mike, first of all, thanks for being here. And what's amazing to me is that we're looking at the book of Judges, and we're looking at a book that is, you know, more than 2,000, close to 3,000 years of age. And here we are in our country at a time like this in America where the book of Judges is anticipating our newspapers tomorrow. I mean, you look at a people who were wonderfully blessed by God, who became spoiled with the blessings of God, took their eyes, really, Mike, off the blesser being God and looked to the blessings, and then somehow began to attribute these great things to either their own
efforts,
doing and efforts, or where they began to maybe expect them. And we see the cycle in Israel during the time of the Judges where it's rather a depressing cycle. It's they were departing from God, getting involved in the adoption of pagan gods, practicing the worship services of these pagan gods, and you see God then taking his hand of blessing away. And you know, I think about America, the stage at the time, the moment we're in, we've asked God, Mike, as a culture, to get out of our courtrooms. We've removed the Ten Commandments from our public places.
Classrooms and everything else.
Classrooms. You know, you want to get into an argument, try to bring the Ten Commandments into a classroom today.
Sure.
And listen, what is God to conclude? We love the fact that he's gentle, gracious, and kind. Absolutely. But because he's holy, he delivers his justice and his judgment. And personally, I'm very concerned for America. No other nation outside of the nation of Israel has been given more spiritual light, more blessings than the United States. And he will not sit idle when we as a nation embrace other gods and forsake him, his word, his commandments, and his authority over this country. And I'm afraid that we are going to start receiving what we've asked for, and that is a culture without God. Maybe we're starting to see that now.
So simply put, we're on borrowed time as a nation.
I believe that America, since, oh my goodness, we could go back, maybe it's in the last 80 years, 60 years, I believe that God's mercy is being tried, and I think you put it well, borrowed time. I think the Lord is waiting for maybe his people here in America to repent of their sin, starting with me.
Of course.
And
starts at home.
Seeking him, crying out to him, asking the Lord to heal our land. And perhaps maybe he'll bring revival. And I know, you know, in fact, Mike, there's going to be a nice, excellent way for us to seek the Lord. And I'll mention that at the end of our time together today.
I know what you're going to talk about.
But yes. We need to turn this nation around and say, well, how do you do that, Jack? Well, we can't do it in our own strength. I believe that there's a God in heaven.
Of course.
I believe that God, as Benjamin Franklin and our founding fathers declared, that he presides, he rules in the affairs of men. Mm-hmm. And I'm drawing, frankly, from the original throes of this nation, starting with the Pilgrims. They dedicated this land to God. William Bradford was really big on that. And I believe that those prayers of the Bradfords, of the Franklins, of the Washingtons, of the Lincolns are still arising before the throne of God. And I want to tap into that and say, Lord, remember their prayers. Look at the book of Judges, what we're learning. Lord, please don't let us go down the path that Israel did until the point where judgment had to come.
Okay, we need to define this term judges. Are we talking about the black robe judges with the powdered wigs and they got the gavel in their hands? Is that the kind of judge? Or does this mean something else?
Not at all. These are judges that God had established to preside over Israel as a nation. This is a time during the course of the judges, it predates what we look at, for example, in the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles. It predates 1st and 2nd Kings, for example. This is a time period when God had established judges to rule in the affairs of his people. And there's a great series of judges. In fact, Mike, right now, Samson.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of people know Samson predominantly because of his sexual escapades and pulling down the temple of
the
pagan culture. Yeah, exactly that. What we don't realize is that Samson was one of Israel's judges. God had called him from the womb to be a judge over Israel. They were to execute, really, to the people of Israel, the word of God, the voice of God, the will of God in the direction of the nation. They were to be, as it were, leaders appointed by God. Great question, Mike. They're not running around wearing black robes. These were leaders that were authoritative, ordained by God. In some respects, they were in that place of Israel being a theocracy, and they are in that operation of arguing, presenting, and maintaining the will of God before the people, before the period of the kings arose.
So there really are a lot of parallels between them and the United States.
It's amazing.
Now that that's established, we can get to that. But I'm reminded whenever I think of Judges, I think of the last verse of the last book of Judges, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes.
Tragic.
And do we see that here in our society today?
Well, in fact, we say that we want to be free, and every man wants to be free. But, my friends, when we say that we want to be free and so we're not going to have any rules, when we say, in the name of freedom, I want this to happen, what we need to realize is that freedom dictates tremendous personal responsibility among the citizens of a free society.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound too critical, but without the Word of God being in the hearts and in the minds of men in a culture, we will lose our freedom.
Yeah.
Well, no, Pastor, we want more freedom. We want the Bible away from us so we can have freedom.
Mm.
Really, culture, societies prove that when there is no fear of the Lord, then what people call freedom winds up becoming tyrannical. And we see that happening in America today because nobody cares about God. Nobody believes that they're going to answer to God in the end. In fact, you think about it. We mentioned Samson a moment ago. Before he was ever born, he had a great start, Mike.
Sure.
But he had a terrible ending. America had a great start. Will we have a terrible ending? We need to learn from the book of Judges.
The book of Judges spends a number of chapters on Samson. Why is that?
I think Samson, because personally, not only can we look at him in a national sense, that he's a picture, a living parable of how this nation is going and could go, but Samson, in my opinion, Mike, now this is personal, but Samson, when I look at his life and study his life, he could very well be speaking to the temptations of my life. I believe that the Lord has given me a great start. I believe that the Lord has given me enough of his word to give me great hope, purpose, and vision for my life. But I need to do what Samson didn't do. It's tragic, Mike. You know that one of the first words out of Samson's mouth was,
I saw a woman.
Exactly. I saw a woman, get her for me.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing.
No.
The Bible tells us in Corinthians we need to bring those kind of thoughts under the captivity of Christ.
Of Christ.
I can learn so much from the life of Samson. I think the Lord instilled so many chapters of the book of Judges that we might learn the grace of God, the judgment of God, the mercy of God, the righteousness of God, and our responsibility to this God and to our culture as believers. In a time like this, Mike, we need to be completely sold out to live for God because our culture around us is truly going down, down, deeper down into decadence, into godlessness. What are we as believers to do? We're to have our strength in the Word, being filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in the knowledge of God, which again comes from that Word.
Yeah.
And it's time, Mike, for us as believers to stand up and be counted. No more spectator Christianity will do at a time like this. As believers, we are to go into the public square.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently, we had a team from this church deployed in Dearborn, Michigan, at an Arab festival.
I was going to say, that's a...
230,000 people to be in attendance that week.
Wow, Dearborn.
We know the law. We know we took shipped tons of Bibles there in Bible tracks, the Jesus film produced by Campus Crusade for Christ. And our team gets on the public sidewalk. Now remember, constitutional law and our First Amendment rights. And the city authorities shut down the handing out of Bibles from our team, any tracts, any DVDs that relate to Jesus Christ.
Isn't that illegal, though, for them to make that illegal?
It is illegal to make it illegal, and that is being challenged now by legal firms right now as we speak. How could that ever come about in America? A public, I understand private property, that's a different story. Public property, what's going on? Well, what happens is, when Christians do not get involved in the culture, taking the Word of God and Jesus to the culture, didn't he say go into all the world and preach the gospel? That is taking Christ and the Judeo-Christian value to the culture. When we do not do that, then what happens is, the culture changes, most often in a city council meeting, maybe nobody's around, because people are not engaged.
Yeah.
I am not advocating from the book of Judges that we create a theocratic rule in America, by no means. By no means.
Cool.
Our kingdom is not of this world.
That's right.
But until we leave this earth for the world that the Lord is calling us to, that eternal kingdom with Him, we are to be salt and light. I want to ask our listeners, how do you think you're to live that out? And today, Mike, are you and I being salt and light?
Right.
I spoke to a bunch of men recently, and I asked them, when was the last time that you got into trouble? And their natural response was, oh, I haven't gotten into trouble. And I said, that's our problem.
You got to stick your neck out and start getting involved.
Man, as Christians, and when I read Acts chapter 4, Peter and John were attacked for healing in Jesus' name.
Of course.
I mean, who wouldn't want to sign up for healing? The authorities found out about it and said, you will no longer do that in this man's name. They preached and witnessed to others in the name of Jesus. They were beaten. They were arrested.
Yeah.
They were thrown out and threatened no longer speak in the name of Jesus. And what did they do? They said, whether we should obey you or God, you be the judge of that. And they went out the very next moment after being freed, and they preached again in Jesus' name. That's the kind of trouble the 21st century Christian needs to get involved in.
And doesn't the text say, and they turned the world upside down?
Absolutely. It's time for us. I really believe, I probably sound like crazy man to those of you who are listening right now, but I believe that you and I were born, not by accident, but for such a time as this. The Word of God we have in our hearts, the Spirit of God, I believe, is just absolutely like a sprinter in the blocks waiting for us to run so He can run with us. I mean, look, we will forever have excuses. In fact, I don't know if this is an original thought of mine, but I've had it in my head for a long time, and that is, never underestimate man's ability to justify himself.
Yeah, right.
And I think that's true. And
it
so
is,
the thing is this, when are we going to do what's right? Well, it's going to be today. Because, well, I'll put it to you this way. I would rather get an A from the Lord for having tried and failed than get an F from God having sat along the sidelines and played it safe.
Yeah.
And so at a time like this, we need to say, Lord, this morning as I get up, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Cause me to be sensitive to those divine appointments that you have for me today. And don't let me miss them. Mike, I think too many times we pray a haphazard prayer, an unconscious prayer. We live our day. It was a boring day. I mean, you know, we did our job and we made it home.
Clocked in, clocked out.
But nothing really, I mean, let's be honest, nothing really affected the kingdom. I'm wondering how many times we're praying a prayer just because we're supposed to pray. And if God were to answer the prayer during the course of the day, would we even recognize it if He answered it?
Yeah.
Because we pray a prayer that is kind of like, well, whatever. And if he answers it or not, we don't even catch it. But what if we got up and said, Lord, today I'm asking you to bring into my life one person I can share Jesus with today before the sun sets.
Yeah.
God, I'm willing.
Yeah.
Well, I got news for you. He's much more willing than you are.
Yeah.
And if you pray a specific prayer like that, that really puts you and I in that vulnerable zone, because it's like, oh my goodness, all day long we're going to be wringing our hands. When is that moment going to happen? You
yeah,
know?
Right, right.
Well, the beauty of it is, it's God's divine appointment. We are simply to obey. And when that happens, man, we will know that God's working in our lives.
Hmm.
And Mike, I tell you, I think that is cutting-edge Christianity, to expect God to move today.
Absolutely. Well, you're listening to Real Radio, and we've got Pastor Jack. We're talking here in his office about the period of the Judges. And just got done talking about how we can be used of God on a personal level. In a few minutes, Pastor Jack, I'm going to ask you about Call to Fall, happening on July the 5th. We'll go into some detail on that. Meanwhile, if somebody wants to find out about it, they can go to realradioactive.org and just click on the Call to Fall picture there. Now, earlier we talked about parallels between the time of the period of the Judges and the society in which we live today, here at least in the U.S. and other like countries. I want to talk about another parallel that you have mentioned in this series, and that is that at that time, of course, Israel said, well, okay, we're going to forget about God. So God said, all right, plenty good. Good luck. You know, you're on your own for a while.
That's all you got.
Yeah. And he brought the judges along. But what about the parallel between Israel then and Israel now? Times haven't changed. It seems like to me, is she still not staring down the barrel of the guns of her neighbors?
Israel is staring down the barrel of the guns of her neighbors. The modern-day threats against Israel, you would think, would have every Israeli on their knees.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just got back from Israel, and a lot of people may be shocked to find out that when you traverse Israel, the nation as people are very, very atheistic, believe it or not. They don't believe in God. And yet, that's exactly what the book of Ezekiel said,
right.
That in the last days,
yeah.
He would bring them back into their own land in unbelief. So at a time when you think they would be praying, they're not praying. At a time you think that they would be knowing the Word of God, they don't. So when you look at the parallels, has God blessed Israel? Oh, yes. We are at a point, I say we, the world and Israel, is at a point where I believe that with all that is coming against her, Israel is going to wake up to the overwhelming threat. And at some point in time, and I believe in the not-too-distant future, she's going to cry out to God. He says in Ezekiel that when that battle, the Ezekiel battle, takes place, then you will know that I am God.
Yeah.
And so right now they don't. And so I don't want any of our listeners to be discouraged by that. What I want you to do is be encouraged by that, because the Word of God's being fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Israel is in their own land. By the way, the Bible tells us they will never be uprooted from that land. They're there to stay, though they got some tremendously difficult days ahead of them.
A lot of people don't like that ending to that part of the story.
No, but it is true. And the Bible's very clear. But however, right now, Israel is a nation that God is dropping blessings upon them. They don't recognize it. They don't see
mm-hmm.
it. But he is very much removed from their culture. He is not invited. He is not welcomed. And it is a very, very interesting time, a very prophetic time that you and I are in.
Okay, if Israel, whether or not she recognizes her covenant God right now, by and large, I mean, there are some estimates of upwards of 1 million Messianic Jews in the world today. A good portion of them are over in Israel, like in Yad HaShmonah and some of these other communities.
Sure.
And but even if they don't recognize her covenant God, isn't this still the battle of the gods?
Oh, excellent. Absolutely,
you
Mike.
You brought that up, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me. It's exactly that. And Mike's referring to Carmel experience, where the prophet was there and all of the prophets of Baal and the Astaroths. Yeah, we're coming to that, down to that again. Is it the God of the Bible? Or is it the ancient pagan gods of Babylon? I personally believe, and this may generate some interesting response, Mike, but I am personally convinced that history repeats itself. I think God makes that very clear.
Oh, sure.
And if the battle of the gods took place there in 1 Kings between Yahweh, the Lord, and Baal of the pagan Babylonian system, then do we not see the formation happening now again, where it's coming down to Yahweh,
versus
the Lord,
Allah.
And Allah,
that's
the
right.
ancient pagan god of Babylon.
Yeah, the moon.
Isn't it interesting? The moon god of Babylon.
Right.
It's coming again, and I hope that our listeners are in tune with that, and understand that which side of the altar are you going to be on?
Just list the nations, if you could, that are. It seems that Israel is the hub. Can't really count the Mediterranean. That's water. But what about all the other surrounding nations?
Well, you look at the surrounding nations, and I encourage everyone to get a globe. Get a globe and a highlighter and mark it.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, family, Real Radio listeners, you cannot live in a more hostile neighborhood in the universe than where Israel lives. If you look to the north, she's dealing with Hezbollah that has taken over Lebanon. If you look to the south, you've got Hamas, who was radically elected into the Gaza Strip area. Both these crazy entities are dedicated to Israel's annihilation. You've got the nation of Jordan, which obviously is Islamic, but the powers in Jordan understand enough to leave Israel alone under its current leadership, King Abdullah. You've got a neighborhood regarding Egypt, who through wars have learned to not mess with Israel. But still, Islamic nations committed to the destruction. You've got Persia, or Iran today.
Right, right.
You've got Iraq, who currently under our presence is being kind to Israel. But I suspect the moment we leave that region of the world, it'll go back to business as usual.
Sure.
You look at the regions of Syria. My goodness, Damascus. Isaiah chapter 17 speaks about what's to soon become of Damascus. Why? Because of its hatred towards Israel. You look at the regions of Turkey. I mean, you can go on and on.
Yeah, they're all spokes in a big wheel, it seems like,
all
geographically.
All spokes. Very well put. In a geographical region that is even now advancing because Islam by nature advances, has now engulfed Europe. Europe in a matter of time. In fact, Germany has just announced, and the German ministry has announced that it is irreversible by population that Germany will be a Islamic German Republic in 15 years.
Mm.
I mean, this is a scientific fact. And so we're looking at a world that is increasing. What does that mean to us? We're seeing the battle of the gods.
Okay, one last question. When we're talking about the period of the judges, it's, shall we say, a very volatile one, and I'm being generous there, but eventually the people did come around, correct?
Correct.
And how can we draw on that parallel?
Oh, my. Well, the people came around only after, Mike, and that's the sad news before the good news. They came around after their borders were overrun by Philistines. Their crops were taken captive and destroyed by others. Other gods were invited into and onto the hilltops and valleys of Israel. Their economy failed. They barely scraped by. They were taken captive by their invaders. They were attacked by military marauders. And Israel was so depressed and so discouraged, and yet sometimes it took up to 30 to 40 years for them to call out. And when they called out to God, He heard them in their pain and in their suffering. And what's tragic for America today is, what part of that cycle do we find ourselves in?
Of course.
Yes, very eye-opening. So remember this, though. He was waiting for them to turn back. And that's our hope and prayer, if we would just turn back.
Well, you're listening to Real Radio with Jack Hibbs, and we are just about to have to wrap things up here. So I want you to talk about the call to fall.
Yeah, we can do something about all the news that we're hearing right now, and that is we can pray. God's invited us to pray. We need to pray. So please go to calltofall.com. Call, the number two, fall, like fall down, .com. Calltofall.com. Go there if you would. It's absolutely no commitment money-wise. Just put your name on the list that you have committed yourself to pray on July 5th with churches across America. As we here at Calvary Chapel, we are going to take a break for 3 to 5 minutes right in the middle of our Sunday service. And we're going to get on our knees in each of the services and we're going to pray. I'm going to lead the church in prayer. Will you sign up there at that website and join us in spirit? Please, if we do not pray for America, if we don't ask God to intervene, then are we not contributing to the problem? We know Him. And God wants to move. Let's do that by going to calltofall.com. realradioactive.com.
And of course, you can always go to realradioactive.org and just click on where it says Call to Fall. It's easy to find.
Yes.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.